Welcome to the Mr. Vincent Podcast, episode 128, a Saturday edition of the Mr. Vincent Podcast. I wasn't able to record midweek, which is what I usually do, so I had to hold off till yesterday in the evening, as me and the homie Eves did chop it up about the NFL, of course. Talked about what's been transpiring with all these injuries early on in the season, most notably with Nick Chubb and Trayvon Diggs. We also did touch on a few games slated for week three, talked about what we think is going to transpire, how's it going to play out, and gave our predictions of those games, and more. So overall, a pretty good pod. I did mention that in the last episode that I would be having visuals as well with this pod, but that's not happening here at this episode because I actually didn't get the equipment yet that I need to do that. So I do apologize for that. Hopefully by the next time I record, I'll have all the equipment needed to provide visuals as well to go along with the audio. But for now, it's just straight audio, how it's been last couple of years. But actually, we can get into this pod right now. Here it is. I guess we can start this pod right now.
Yep.
So I wanted to get your thoughts on what we've seen transpire over the last week. A lot of big names have been going down with injuries so far in this NFL season. Nick Chubb out with a knee injury looked really, really, really bad on Monday Night Football. Then we had Trayvon Diggs tearing his ACL in practice. I believe that was Wednesday or yesterday, Thursday. Yesterday. So a lot of key players have gone down. We have the likes of Aaron Rodgers, J.K. Dobbins. We got Odell's on that right now with the ankle injury. I'm not sure what his status is for this week. What's your thoughts right now on the these injuries that are piling up early on in this 2023 season?
Well, first and foremost, the injury to Trayvon Diggs is huge. It's huge.
Yeah.
That defense looked like the best in the NFL in the first 2 weeks of the season. You know, I think San Francisco definitely has, like, their hat in the ring. The Saints probably do as well. Low-key, the Kansas City Chiefs also do. And for me, I really like that defense because it just – that Cowboys defense had that great pass rush with Micah Parsons and the crew. And then on the back end, they had Trayvon Diggs and Stephon Gilmore. A big problem for them last year was Trayvon Diggs was good, but – their other corner, I think it was Anthony Bland. Teams were able to use him as kind of like the guy that they could pick on and give them an answer against that Cowboys defense. And now with Trayvon Diggs out, it's kind of going to be Stephon Gilmore and him, and teams may have an answer again to that Cowboys pass rush, which has been ferocious. So we'll see. We'll see what Dan Quinn comes up with and how he can cover that up. But that Trayvon Diggs injury is huge. And then Nick Chubb. I'm a big fan of Nick Chubb. I think he's the best pure runner in the league. Honestly, he probably should get more buzz than he gets. He's very quiet, I think. I think he kind of puts his head down and does his job. And he plays for the Browns where they don't really get like the kind of media coverage that other teams get. But he's a great running back. And it was a shame to see what happened to him. That was not a dirty hit. It was not a dirty hit, like, at all. If anybody has watched, like, Nick Chubb play, like, the guy is a big back. He's a big back. He's like 5'11", 230 pounds, maybe a little bit more. And guys bounce off of him. It was like, what is Minkah Fitzpatrick going to do? You can't go high in the league, so we can't go and hit him in the head because that's a flag and that's a fine. If he tries to, like, hit him in the chest, it's probably not going to do anything. He had to go low. Like, it is what it is. I don't think it was he was trying to hurt him. I don't think it was a dirty play. I think he was just trying to get him on the ground the best way he knew that he could. And it was what it was.
Yeah, I mean, and you got to think, like, he's like, this is real time. It's all going down in real time. It's easier to, like, try to critique it after the fact. But in real time, when you're just like a millisecond, and you got to make a quick decision. Like, he did what he thought was necessary to do in order to prevent it from getting to the end zone.
That's a fact. I mean, it's like, it's football. It's not two-hand touch. He had to do what he had to do. It's just a damn shame that Nick Chubb went down. Like, he was averaging, I think he ended up averaging like 6 yards a carry for the season. Like, he was in the game against Cincinnati, he averaged like 5.9 yards a carry. And then in the game against Pittsburgh, when he went out, he had like 10 carries for 64 yards. So he's at like 6.4. Honestly, I hope that maybe down the line he's somebody who gets like talked about with some like Hall of Fame buzz, but I also don't know what he'll be like when he comes back, because that knee that got injured, that was the same knee he tore up at Georgia.
Yep. Exactly. I mean, and now I believe he's like 27, 28. So kind of get up to that in age.
But yeah, he's 27. He turns 28 in December.
Mm. Yeah, it's just a shame, man. And then you see now why running backs like really want to be compensated. Because they really like, there's a lot of like mileage in the body, especially Nick Chubb. I mean, he really was the Cleveland Browns offense, especially with Deshaun has been lackluster. When people thought that he would already get back to form, 2020 form. That hasn't been the case so far. So they've been really relying a lot on him, and he's been carrying a huge burden of that offense. And now he's gone off one play, it just drastically changes like that. And yeah, I believe he signed his deal though, right? Before that?
Yeah, see, he did get his deal. So that's one good thing for him. But it's like interesting that Saquon Barkley had the ankle injury and he's out. Austin Eckler, he's like in a similar situation where he's like wanting like a raise or a new contract. He's been out. He was out last week and he most likely will be like this week. Josh Jacobs is relatively healthy from what I understand, but he's been somewhat underwhelming this season. So far. So we'll see. I don't know. Like, it's kind of one of those things where I am always pro player and I always have been, but I also understand like the realities of business, and it's like a hard cap league, and it just makes too much business sense to not pay running backs and just go draft somebody young, because it's likely you can reasonably approximate an elite running back or a stud running back's like value with like cheaper players. It just makes business sense, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You're right. Like, a lot of people look at it from the perspective of the players, but they fail to try to like analyze it from the perspective of the team, the owners, right? He has an investment that in any second, like your investment can go essentially down the drain, whether with a key injury happened to running back, a position that is very taxing and creates a lot of load and is a higher risk of injury than, say, a quarterback, especially with how quarterbacks are protected nowadays. So it sucks, but that thing has got to be a balance, I think, at some point.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe if they can, maybe in the next – I was talking about it with some people on like in like Twitter spaces, and I think maybe one thing that they can do is maybe in the next CBA deal, they can put like an escalator in for any positions that are declining in average pay, even though like the cap's growing up, because the running backs are like the only position that's like done that. They're getting paid less on average while everybody else's money has been going up. Even like kickers. So maybe they can just do that where any position that is seeing falling pay compared to like everybody else, maybe like a certain percentage of their pay can be like exempt from the cap or something so that they can get like a fair wage. But I don't really know what the solution is. It's super complicated.
Yeah. I mean, I seen Stephen A on First Take recently thinks that running backs should be eligible to come out of college a year after their first season just so they can like start making money early. I'd say because like a lot of owners try to use their age against them once they get like that 27, 28. So maybe let them come out of college a year.
Yeah, know, but then it's work. Like all the other guys are going to say like it's not fair to them. But honestly, I think what NIL is like a good thing, because like a lot of those running backs now, and especially like the running back position in and of itself, like you can be a star in college, and if you can get you can make good NIL money in college. Like maybe they might, instead of leaving early, they might stay longer, honestly, because it's like you can make money. There's no, I don't think there's like a cap on what they can pay you in NIL, to my knowledge. Make that, you probably would be making more money in college than you would in the pros.
Yeah, which is really, really crazy. Now to touch on Trayvon Diggs injury, like you touched, like a really crushing blow to that defense. To the Colt Cowboys, they think the two games in, they really played. I don't really care like who the quarterbacks were in the first two games. The fact that their defense looked outstanding, great in the secondary, great pass rush, and now a pivotal part of that secondary defense is now gone for the year. It's really sad because it was a good story for the league. And then now it's just like a lot of people are writing them off like they can't even win the division anymore. And even though we've seen the Eagles haven't really got back to form from last season, a lot of people are now saying it's just San Francisco's division, conference for the taking, rather. It just sucks, man.
Yeah, I love to like watch just like good football. I don't really want to see anything happen like this where like really good players are getting injured, especially like in practice. That's really unfortunate. Wasn't even in the game, but the Cowboys look good. They honestly look like to me like they're right there with like the 49ers. I think the Eagles have taken like a little bit of a step back. So it seems like to me like the two clear best teams in the NFC are the 49ers and the Cowboys, and they just lost a really big piece. I mean, they've been playing lights out. They have a plus 60 like point differential, which is insane. Like insane.
Hmm. Yeah, man. I mean, they literally allowed 10 points to two games.
Yeah, they've just been smoking. They just smoked two teams like back to back. It's just like, ugh. Oh boy. Yeah.
What do you think about their prospects now going forward this season? Do you think they can still legitimately have a chance to win the division, or if not, represent?
Yeah, I mean, I had the Cowboys win the division before the season started. I still stand on
really?
That. Especially, yeah. For one, I think Dak missed some games last year, and I do think that one because they didn't win the division. Like the Eagles won it. The Eagles technically like should have like a little bit of a harder schedule. That's for one. For two, Jalen Hurts really hasn't been playing as well. It seems like he misses Steichen and then some other things we'll get into when we talk about some of the games later. But the matchup generally for like Dak Prescott versus like the Eagles, I believe in like the last three games he's like 78% complete and like 11 touchdowns to like one interception against that defense. They really concede the middle of the field a lot. And that's Dak's strength is throwing to the middle of the field. And then they also have that defense. So they should, in my opinion, at the very least split or sweep the Eagles this year. So I think that they'll win the NFC East. And I do see them probably ending up being like a number one, number two seed when it comes to like the playoff times. It's like, kind of like the same thing with the Cowboys almost every year, where they'll win a lot of regular season games. The real question about them is the playoffs and whether or not they can get over the hump, and the hump is San Francisco because San Francisco has stopped them the past two seasons.
Okay, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, can they win the division? Absolutely. I think you still have enough talent to get that done, and I'm not really liking what I'm seeing right now for Philadelphia. Like I said, we'll talk about that soon when we go over some of the games, but they just look like they have so far – have taken a step or two back from where they were last season, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, I would say. I mean, they can. I probably would. I had the Eagles win the division anyway, so I don't want to, like, jump off that just about 2 weeks in that we've seen so far. But it's very plausible that Dallas can still, without Trayvon Diggs, win the NFC East. I mean, because we see the Giants are just – they are who they are. They are not that good. As opposed to the Eagles and the Cowboys, there's certain levels of that in the NFCs. And I know they had a big comeback win against Denver week two with the Commanders, but I'm not sold just yet.
Yeah, I'm not – the Giants side definitely wasn't sold on them. And then the Commanders, they have talent. They do have talent, but I didn't really see anything happening for them either.
Yeah. But you know what? We could actually take a break right now, and then we'll get into these games slated for Sunday.
Sounds good.
All right, so what games do you want to tackle first? Pun intended.
Well, since we were just talking about the NFC East a little bit. We can get into this Eagles-Bucks game that's coming up.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, I really, really think if I had to pick, I think that the Bucks can pull it off and then get out there with a W. Based on what I've seen so far this season.
I do feel like the Bucks can win. I feel like the Eagles will pull it out, but I think the Bucks will keep it a lot closer than people think. I don't think Jalen Hurts has been playing all that well this year. Have you been watching any of the games?
Yeah, he hasn't been great to me. Like, he hasn't been damaging enough on the ground, but I thought it was a pivotal part to his game. And he doesn't really look like he's he's not showing as much confidence in his arm like he had last season. That's my observation.
Yeah, I think the big problem with that offense is, for one, it doesn't really seem like they're getting into any kind of rhythm at all to me. I think it's a lot of like deep throws, and it's a lot of like screens and like checks and like dump offs. There's really not a lot of throws to like the middle of the field. And then it's pretty much when they're not able to hit the home runs, they're just like running the football. My thing is this. I saw it last season with Jalen Hurts, is when you blitz him, he's a layup. He tends to throw, and it's built into the system as well. Like, it's a lot of like screens, it's a lot of quick throws, dump offs, checks when it comes to the blitz. He doesn't really like chuck it deep. The best quarterbacks in the league, when you blitz them, they make you pay with throws that gash you. He doesn't really gash you. But the thing is, when teams have been putting the Eagles in that position, they've been able to find ways to run the football. The Eagles are playing a Todd Bowles defense this weekend. And what do we know about Todd Bowles? Exotic blitzes. But the difference between, say, Todd Bowles and the Bucks, as opposed to like the Vikings last week, is he has Vita Vea in the middle of his defense, a 350-pound Samoan who can take two gaps and make sure that the math works out when the Bucks are trying to fit the run against the Eagles. So I don't know. It could look rough. He has made things tough for Jalen Hurts before. Baker Mayfield has also looked like pretty solid.
This looks like the resurrection of Baker Mayfield the last 2 weeks. I mean, people thought that his career was over, but when you think about it, you still have a lot of pieces there. I know the GOAT retired, he left, but you still have a lot of pieces there that were contributed to that team while Brady was there on offense and defense. You still got Mike Godwin. You still got You still got Chris Godwin. You still got Mike Evans. You still got Vita Vea, like you mentioned. You saw Shaq Barrett. Like, there's a lot of solid pieces there. And I think that Baker's just taking advantage of this moment, and he's just like really putting the world on notice that he's still here. His career ain't over yet.
Yeah, they have talent. I will say they did play the Bears and the Vikings, and those defenses aren't good. So it will maybe get some questions answered this week up against that Philly defense. But we also, like I said earlier, they do concede the middle of the field. Chris Godwin. So Chris Godwin might have himself a game. Mike Evans also might get his on the outside. They can run the ball decently well. Like, I'm with you. Like, I do think that at the end of the day that the Eagles may pull it out by like a touchdown, maybe, or maybe a field goal. We'll see. But I do think the Bucks got more from the Eagles than people might think.
Yeah, I mean, and I think this game is really, really pivotal to the Eagles. Well, more so to the Eagles than the Bucks, same with the division they're playing right now. Like you said, like now Dallas, with Dallas now probably what may take a step back or not. You have a chance like to really like, you know, like put your stamp on the division this year. Whereas the Bucks play in the lousy NFC South. So if they could lose this game, it wouldn't be the end of the world to me. So that could play a factor into the Eagles possibly winning too, because there's more desperation, I think, on their side.
Absolutely. It's I think the Eagles got some stuff that they really need to like work out. They're just definitely not smooth as of yet. There's definitely some kinks that need to be like worked out and some growth that needs to happen from like Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. I mean, and the secondary is banged up though, so this is why I'm thinking like the Bucks really have a realistic chance of pulling this off.
Yeah,
with Galway and Evans there, like they can that's going to take advantage of that secondary.
Yeah, if they're able to pull it off, I honestly would not be surprised at all. I wouldn't.
Okay, so you said that it'll be if you think the Eagles are going to win, it's going to be like a late score to seal the game, basically.
Yeah, I think they'll get like maybe like a score in the fourth and maybe like run the ball to ice the game. Give me 28 to 24 Eagles.
Okay, I might have to go with 21-17 Tampa. Ooh.
All right.
So what's the next game that's on the list?
I was taking a look at that Chargers-Vikings game.
Now, this game is interesting. You got two teams that are trying their best to avoid going down 0-3. And two teams that that obviously they're struggling. I went with the Chargers. I mean, they scored, 58 points through two games with no interceptions and lost both games? Yep. Like, that's crazy. And I think Brandon Staley, if they lose this game, I think he will be officially on the hot seat. Some may say he should have got fired after blowing that 27-point lead in the division.
1,000% should have.
Right? So, I mean, Kellen Moore's doing his job. Their offense is explosive. And I did also see that Kellen is out for the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's out. So, he's out. But the offense is still elite with the weapons that Justin Herbert got at his disposal. So, with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, like, they're still good. But I don't know. This is a very interesting game. What do you think about it?
So for me, what I'm looking for is Staley really needs to get his shit together, like that. I don't know if you're really aware, like the Chargers are kind of having, the organization's kind of having, like there's like a fight amongst the ownership where.
Oh, like, that I didn't know.
Yeah, the Spanos family, the brother is like kind of like the principal owner, but he's getting sued by like his sister. They all have pieces of the team and it's just like a hot mess. So that's also, I think that also plays a role in why maybe Brandon Staley hasn't been fired because they don't want to have to pay him to walk away just like they had to do for Anthony Lynn. But I think for one, I complained a lot maybe like the past couple of years about Justin Herbert and he was kind of locked into a box by the previous coordinator, Joe Lombardi, because it was like a lot of short stuff. And thankfully, Kellen Moore has changed that, where he's like in like the top 10 and like average depth of target downfield, and he's bombing it down. He's throwing it deep a lot more, and he's put up really good numbers. He's like 50 for 74 for 534 yards and 3 touchdowns, but they've lost. I will say part of it is they played like Miami, who was one of the most, was pretty much like they're the most efficient
offense. With arguably one of the like most scary, one of the scariest offensive weapons in the league, and Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, and Tyreek Hill and Waddle, they're literally both the most explosive offense in the league in terms of explosive plays, and they have like the highest success rate in the league. So they're also like the most efficient, which is terrifying. But the Chargers are like right up there. That loss last week was pretty unacceptable, in a lot of people's opinions. And it's kind of getting to that point where it's like, you're a defensive coach. You are a defensive coach and you gave up 34 to the Dolphins. Like, okay, cool. Like we can't really, it's the Dolphins. They're one of the best offenses in the league. They are the best offense in the league right now, so it is what it is. But you played Ryan Tannehill like the next week, and he went 20 of 24 against you. Like you can't. That's not something that like should be happening. So, I think this is a big prove it moment for Staley. It does to me somewhat project to be like a shootout, especially considering on the other side of the ball, kind of Kirk Cousins has been somewhat putting up numbers too. That's just unfortunately for him that he has him and both him and his offense, they've had turnovers. that you could say, I believe they're the number one in the league. I think they have had like six turnovers in their first two games. I would have to go.
They are. They rank second in passing yards so far.
Yeah, they put up a bunch of numbers, but they're also giving the ball away at like a higher rate, which is definitely, definitely not good. So I think to me it projects to be a shootout. We'll see how that turns out, because there's just like this weird thing where teams tend to go to Minnesota, and for some reason they don't put up like a ton of points. But on paper, this should be a shootout where kind of whoever like maybe has the ball last will win the game. They did trade with the Rams for Cam Akers this week because they have like no run game at all. I'm not sure how much trading for Cam Akers will help, because I think a lot of their problems come from like their offensive line. Their guards are trash. Their tackles are not healthy. So we'll see what happens. But I think this is going to be like an interesting shootout, but it's something I have on my list to watch.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. I was just like, who wants it more? Who wants to avoid being down 0-3? And both teams have good cases, right, to avoid it. But you think that it was probably in the – if you have to pick one, it should be Chargers, because, again, we said Staley, he's a defensive coach, but he's been giving up a whole lot of yards and points in his first 2 weeks. So something's got to give. You can't – like, the offense is doing their part. Herbert's doing his part. He can't play defense. Kellen Moore has obviously been a good addition to the team, good for Justin Herbert's development. Now it's like really like there's more pressure on Staley to actually perform well Sunday and going on for the rest of the season if he wants to keep his job past the 2023 season.
Yeah, I'm of the same opinion. I think their backs are against the wall. I am going to give the Chargers this one. I think they win it by like a field goal, most likely. But yeah, I think I'm done with it. I think Staley got to go. I think he should have been gone. I don't think he's it. Maybe they'll just let Kellen Moore coach the team, but I don't think at this point you're supposed to be like a defensive genius. And he did turn around that Chargers defense like last year, but it's like this can't keep being the thing where your defense is giving up so many points when your quarterback is like basically like putting up like top 10, top 5 numbers, or your offense is putting up like top 3 numbers as like a unit. And you're losing games because you can't stop anybody from scoring. Like, you're first and foremost, even before being a defensive head coach, you're supposed to be like you're supposed to be some like defensive like wonder kid. Like, what's going on?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I probably wouldn't say I believe it's just the Herbert. I think they can get it done, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be interesting to see like what Flores's blitz scheme is going to be for this team, because that offense is very potent down there in LA. But I probably would go with the Chargers 34-27 if I had to pick. So that's what I'm going to do. They will avoid going down to 0-3.
Give me the Chargers 34-31.
Okay. All right. Let's do one more quick break before we get into the next game. All right. So we got Saints versus Packers. Interesting. Hey, what's your assessment been of Jordan Love so far through 2 weeks into his NFL career?
I think Jordan Love is good. I think he has good like physical tools. I do think they have somewhat kept him within the confines of like that offense's like structure. It's like on that Shanahan McVay tree where you're kind of on guardrails, and it's a very like binary offense where it's like it's either this or that, depending on what this like one player is doing. So it makes things like pretty easy for him, but he's executing and the offense is like playing like pretty well. I do think they missed Aaron Jones and Christian Watson last week when they went down to Atlanta and lost. They only lost by 1 point, but all the advanced metrics and just like the raw statistics say he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league right now, and that offense is one of the best offenses in the league right now. I do think this game for me is interesting in that it's kind of like it'll tell me a lot, because that Saints defense has also been playing really well just like across the board as a unit. Like, they're like lights out. Derek Carr is still like Derek Carr. I think they somewhat gotten like a little bit lucky, in my opinion, like the past couple of weeks. So this is a big game where it'll like answer like a lot of questions. If Green Bay loses, they'll be 1-2, which will make it rough for me talking about them being like a potential being a potential winner of the NFC North or like getting like a wild card. But it's also something for like the Saints as well, because they're 2-0. If they win, they go like 3-0, and like maybe some of those voices that have been saying Derek Carr is a bit like fraudulent, maybe they'll shut up. So we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I like what I've seen from. I haven't watched like a whole lot of Jordan Love so far, but I like what I'm seeing, what my eyes are seeing so far. He seems real comfortable. I think that sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, was it 3 years he sat behind him? I believe it was
3 years, yes.
Yeah, I think that has paid dividends for him right now to be in the position that he is. He's very familiar with the organization, with the structure of the team. He has looked good. I mean, like I said, last week he didn't have Christian Watson or he didn't have Aaron Jones, and they barely lost that game. I did see that Aaron Jones did return to practice earlier this week. Not sure about Christian Watson. Do you have any update on him?
I believe he is not playing. I think he's still on the report, but I'm not. I have to go and like double check. I know.
It's a hamstring, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah. So I believe. Actually, I think he actually might be playing. Let me take a look right now.
I was trying to look it up before the pod. I didn't see anything.
Yeah, he's questionable. Chris Ross is questionable. And then, like, Elgin Jenkins, like, their guard, he's out. David Bakhtiari, he's most likely going to be out. But right now, Christian Watson and Aaron Jones are both questionable, so we'll see.
Yeah. Now, if you're a Saints fan, you can look at it as, hey, they haven't played a quarterback as good as us, as we have so far in Derek Carr. I mean, they played Justin Fields. They played Fields and Ritter in the first 2 weeks to the Packers, so – you can kind of look at that as positive, but then again, not like Derek Carr just blows your mind at the quarterback position. But no, I would say it's an upgrade from those two. So it'd be interesting. I'm liking Green Bay in this game. I think Green Bay will wins.
Yeah, I got Green Bay by like a field goal, but I don't necessarily feel all that strongly about it, because again, this is one of those games where it's going to be like a real like barometer where like, is Green Bay for real? Like, we get to see Jordan Love versus like a really good defense, and especially with like some of the things that offense like allows him to do, he might have to go outside of it in order to really get things done against that Saints defense. So it'll tell us a lot about Jordan Love as well, like whether or not he's kind of just somebody who needs to be within that structure to be viable, or if he has like something like some extra sauce to put on top of it where you really can talk about him being a great quarterback.
What do you think his ceiling is in the NFL as a quarterback?
I mean, within that offensive structure with like the right like weapons about him, he could be like top 12,
which is good. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people think that if you're not like a top tier quarterback in the league, like you're just like you're an underachiever. When that's ridiculous, because it's just like there's only a few who have Mahomes or
Burrow. I mean, if you put it, I'll tell you straight up, Brock Purdy is like maybe like the 17th or 18th best quarterback in the NFL, maybe. But he has a whole bunch of weapons around him, and he has like a really good offensive play designer and play caller, and so
a brilliant mind at all as a head coach. Yep.
Yeah, and LaFleur is kind of that tree, just like Sean McVay is also of that tree. So even if Jordan Love is like limited, and he's not really limited physically, he can run. He has a strong arm. Like, I don't see why he can't succeed. It's just about maybe what he has like in between the ears.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm happy for him that he's like that he's playing well early on NFL career, especially you know coming from a franchise that's had like Hall of Fame level play at the quarterback position for like the last 25-30 years, basically. Right. It's like, I can see that being like a lot of pressure for a person in his position, but I think he's handled it well so far. Did you see the text that Aaron Rodgers sent him after they beat the Bears?
Yeah, about yeah, the that's funny. So. still owning the Bears. That's funny.
Yeah, that's a good one. So I like that. So that's good. I think that can be a good thing for Jordan Love. You know, help keep his confidence high as he progresses throughout the season and throughout his NFL career.
Yeah. I think I got Green Bay winning this one like 20-17.
I'm gonna go 22-14 Green Bay.
Oof. That's nasty work.
hey man, I forgot to ask you a question. Before this, maybe I asked you. I had asked some people. I think that the first two games of the season are gonna like probably sway your answer now that we're into the season. I should ask you before. Mm-hmm. Who has a better wide receiving core? Miami with Waddle and Hill, or the Bengals with Chase and Higgins?
Miami. I just think that speed that speed is just different. It is maybe like the best receiver core when you're talking about going like three deep, because Tyler Boyd is actually really good too, but that speed, the way those guys can like dictate, they're getting off like angle routes. Like angle routes take time to like develop, but it's just Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle are so fast that they can run them, and like basically the Miami Dolphins can use them as like quick game. My thing is, I'll say this. I think even though it got a little bit like rougher, that offense was still like decently potent when Tua got hurt. I think you're going to see, even though Jamar Chase is great, and I think T. Higgins is great, you're going to see what that offense looks like in the regular season without, like, Burrow being there. I think, honestly, if Hill and Waddle aren't there, Tua Tagovailoa, they're talking about him being, like, a bust.
I agree. Like, I think that that tandem right there literally changed the conversation around Tua. And whether or not he would cut it in the league. I mean, like these, it's not like he had to throw in like tight windows. Like these guys just get crazy separation and they make his life a lot easier. But hey, I'm not knocking him. He's doing his job. He's playing well.
I think his strengths lie in like the quick game and being able to throw into like windows. And they got the personnel and they got the play designer that can take advantage of all of that and really emphasize those strengths of his. So that's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
I wish the Patriots would do that for Mac.
nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, it's crazy. It's looking like right now that it's not crazy to see that they can represent the AFC in Vegas for the Super Bowl, as long as Tua can stay relatively healthy.
Yeah, I mean, they're the Miami Dolphins with their explosiveness. They're like, they're one team like that I definitely think could be the Chiefs for sure.
Yes,
they definitely could. Even last year's Chiefs. This year's version of the Miami Dolphins, from what I've seen in the past first 2 weeks, they could have made a game with it and potentially be in last year's Chiefs. And that was one of the most efficient offenses you've ever seen last year for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, to answer your question, like, so back to the question I asked you, I probably would have to go with Waddle and Hill as well, just because like that. I don't know how you stop that. Like, I think that might be the scariest duo right now in the NFL. On the offensive side of the ball. Like, what do you do? Like, they can score in the blink of an eye. Hill can turn a 5-yard gain into, like, an 85-yard gain. I just think that Waddle's going to be – it's still questionable for Sunday.
Yeah.
After the hit he took against the Pats. So I'll have to go with them. I get to why people like – why some people like Chase the Higgins more just because of the size, the route running, I would say – but I don't know, man. Like they just get crazy separation. They can just make and turn a little play into a big play.
Yeah, give me speed all day, every day.
Yeah, man. Hey, so two games in, the Patriots. I'm not gonna say we're not looking good. We're just losing games that we possibly could have won, right? And weeks one and two, we could have won those games, but we haven't. What's your thoughts on what you're seeing so far transpire in New England with the Pats?
It's about what I thought. Going into this season, I was like, yeah, our defense is still going to be great, and that's That's been the case for like the past couple of weeks. Last year, we were one of the worst offenses in the league when it came to like red zone, and we're better this year, but we're still not scoring enough points. The biggest the problem is we don't get enough explosive plays. Mac Jones is not Tom Brady. Tom Brady could sit there and string together 10, 12 play drives, dink and dunk, and score reliably.
That's 10, 12 methodical plays, right?
Exactly.
That's not Mac Jones.
It's not necessarily, and that's not necessarily his fault. That's just the thing with Brady was he is going to be right like 99% of the time. He's going to make the accurate throw, put the ball in the exact right place in the exact right time, and just it's kind of like, I don't know, like carving up like a rack of lamb. You ever seen like a rack of lamb, how like some when they carve them, like the bones are like clean? When Tom Brady carves up his rack of lamb, those bones are like clean. Mac is like younger, he doesn't have that kind of experience, and he's just not an elite quarterback like Tom Brady was. So he's going to make mistakes, he's going to leave meat on the bone. The problem is he does not have explosive plays to make that up for him. So I don't really see it changing. He's playing a lot better this year, and that's great. We have like, I think we're one of the highest in the league in terms of offensive success rate. But we're like, I think we only have had like maybe like two plays of like 20 yards or more. And that's like worse than the league, which is about what I expected. So I don't know what's going to, I don't know if that will change. We'll see. Tyquan Thornton is on short-term IR. Hopefully maybe that changes when he gets back. But for right now, that's the problem. We're not getting enough explosive plays offensively to realistically be able to sustain drives.
I agree. And I think we talked about this plenty of times in the past before. It just feels like, you know, Belichick is just really stuck in his ways when it comes to like team building or team development. This is like a quarterback wide receiver league, right? You need an explosive offensive player on the offensive end to complement your quarterback. And he hasn't gotten that yet from Mac. And I don't know why he won't just get out of his own way. It's just too simple to get a threat that can really on a consistent basis get separation, right? Who can make the home run plays? We don't have that, and it's just like it's just sad, like seeing like these constant three and outs, and you know just the defense the team getting itself in a hole, not because of the defense, but because the offense is lacking, and then trying to claw their way back into the game late in the game and end up losing. It's just frustrating, man.
Yeah, so, we are better, but it's not good enough, and that's just a fact.
Did you have the Pats making the playoffs this year? Did you?
No,
I wouldn't think so.
No, I had our chances of winning games. I had like a 7-10 wins variance, but I think we're probably going to be closer. We're probably going to win about 8 this year, in my opinion.
I mean, so yeah. I mean, I didn't really think we would get to the playoffs. I'm looking at the schedule right now. I mean, we got the Jets coming up. Then we're at Dallas. I'm actually going to Dallas for the game, so I'll be out there. Okay. Then we gotta get home. We got the Saints at home. Then we play in Las Vegas on the 15th. I might go to that game. We'll see if I can get out there. I don't know, but yeah, this isn't really looking too good right now. Then after that, we host the Bills, and then we're at Miami on the 29th.
Yeah, people are gonna get mad, but I'm kind of in the same place where I've been in the past couple of years. I hope we lose.
Okay, but you say that, right? You hope you lose, and I know why you're saying that. You're saying that so we can get ourselves in a position in the draft to acquire some talent that can help us for the future. But yep. Bill doesn't go and get offensive players that can help us.
You want to know what? There's exactly one that I know for a fact he would get. And it's Brock Bowers out of Georgia.
Okay.
The tight end can receive, can block. Probably like the best tight end prospect that's come out in years, maybe ever, honestly. And someone like him who can block and catch and is somewhat like explosive as a receiver, I could see Bill drafting him. But we'd have to be like damn near like top 7 to get hit. They had even a chance. So we'll see.
Who is he reminiscent of in today's NFL or in the last several years from a tight end position?
Who would I compare him to? I guess you could say like a Kelce Gronk hybrid, but like watered down versions of both. I'd say he's a little bit more explosive vertically than Travis Kelce is. He's a better blocker than Travis Kelce is. He doesn't have like the same wiggle, and he's a great blocker, but he's a great blocker for like a tight end. Gronk was like a great blocker for like a tackle.
Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. So that's a pretty good prospect there.
Yeah, the kid can play. I would see Bill taking him.
Okay. Well, yeah. But hopefully we got something has to change, man. It's not like 2002 anymore.
Who are you telling?
2023. It just seems like the game is just past Belichick right now. And I mean, he seems to look at him in the rearview mirror at a distance. I don't know.
He seems to get it when it comes to the defense. It's just like,
exactly. God.
You know, he went and drafted a corner in the first round, which he's never done. And he's like changed. He used to favor like bigger players, but now he's been going with more speed on defense to kind of change with what's been going on in the league. So it's like, okay, take that same energy, bring it to the offense.
Exactly. So yeah, we'll see. I mean, it's gonna be a tough year, Pats fans. But we can't complain too much. We had like 20 great years.
That's a fact. So
it is what it is. but yeah, we gonna wrap this up now. What you got? Any plans for the weekend, or you have to sit back and watch the games?
Nephew is turning 14 tomorrow, so I'll be out of
my
house, and then I'll be back on Sunday to watch the games per usual.
Well, I'm sorry. What are you doing with your nephew for his birthday?
No, we're just going to my parents. Everyone's going to be, there's like a little party going down for him at my parents' house. So I'll be driving out there to Fitchburg to go hang out for the day. Maybe barbecue a bit, depending on how like the weather looks. And then, I'll be back on Sunday to watch the games.
Oh, nice. Yeah, man. I think I'm going to another weekend of laying low and just watching the games. I forgot to tell you too. So with Sunday Ticket on YouTube, you actually can watch multi-view. I was thinking on your phone, but on your TV, yeah, you can put it on multi-view off YouTube. So
bet.
You can do
it's
that.
Kind of, well, bet. Then sign me up. I'll probably pick that up. I'll probably just sign that up for it right now.
Yeah, it's a pretty good investment, man. I was talking to my brother about it a couple of days ago. He said that he likes it just to take like the delays, but you got to figure it's streaming. So streaming's like a half an hour, so half an hour, 30 seconds to like a minute of like delay from live TV, but that's whatever. So it kind of sucks. Like, let's say if you're in a group chat and you're talking to people in your group chat, and then somebody comments on a play, you might not see it because it didn't happen yet on your end. So which is why, like, I've gotten a habit now. Like, whenever I watch sports and I'm in a group chat, since having YouTube TV, I just don't look. I don't look at my phone until like there's a timeout or it's halftime or the game's over, and then I'll comment because I know someone's gonna say something to me, and I'm gonna get mad, and I'm gonna see the play after. I'm like, ah.
I got you.
But it is what it is. I like it.
Yes, sir.
Well, all right, man. Well, hope you enjoy your weekend. And we'll chat throughout the weekend.
Yes, sir. Next meeting. All right.
All right, my guy. Take care.
Peace.
And that is it for this episode. Salute to the homie East. Thank you guys for listening. And if you're new to this pod, hopefully you enjoyed this episode. And also, hope that you'll stick around for the ride, too, as well. And if you haven't already, be sure to hit that subscribe button as the Mr. Vincent Podcast is available just about everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts at. That includes Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more platforms as well. You can also keep up with this pod on Instagram, new IG page, at the Mr. Vincent Pod. Again, that is at the Mr. Vincent Pod. You can find things there from breaking news. I try to keep up with that as much as I can. Also to some more engaging content as well. So that's it for this episode. You guys will be back next week. Until then, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and whatever you do, please be responsible. Till next time, take care.